today's scripture comes from John chapter 10, verses 1 through 21. John chapter 10, verses 1 through 21. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, he has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? These are the words of the Lord.
Don't be a sheep. These are the words I saw as I was entering into the golf store, Brother Brown, because I had lost too many golf balls. And as I was going into the golf store to buy some golf balls, there on the window of the car read these words, don't be a sheep. Now, obviously, this is a response of many to kind of being mandated certain lifestyle changes during our times of social unrest and COVID-19 pandemic. When the governor of the state of Washington issued a mandate that all the citizens of Washington needed to wear masks inside and outside, there was a local sheriff who issued his own video. And on the video, he said, don't be a sheep. The idea, beloved, is that sheep are blind followers and do just what they are told to do without question. And in our times of our overactive conspiracies and oversensitivity to regulations, the call more and more is to question everything, right? And therefore, don't be a sheep. I'm sorry, I got to get down, Phil. It's interesting to me And there are times when people don't mind being called all kind of various animals. Times you don't mind being called a dog, as long as it's a big dog. Long as it means that you got bite. Some people even don't mind being called a cat, long as it's a cool cat. And people who carry the weight are sometimes called horses. My mother calls my oldest sister, as long as I can remember, she called her Chick. In the series Roots, Alex Haley's Roots, there was a man known as Chicken George. And in the Dukes of Hazzard, there was Boss Hogg. Well, there is one animal in the barnyard that I can't find anybody who wants to be called that animal. And that is a sheep. When people warn you or want to warn you about being led or being led astray or by being duped into following blindly, they say, don't be a sheep. Well, the problem, beloved, is that the warning is too little and way, way, way too late. Thousands of years too late. Because as far as the Bible is concerned, God is like old MacDonald. Old MacDonald had a farm. E-I-E-O. And on that farm he had some sheep. E-I-E-I-O. It was sheep here and sheep there. Here a sheep, there a sheep, everywhere. Sheep, sheep. Old MacDonald had a farm. E-I-E-I-O. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 53 and 6 that we all like sheep. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. We all are sheep, beloved. This is the testimony of Scripture. When Adam and Eve fell into sin, you know what they were demonstrating? They were demonstrating that they are sheep. And ever since Adam and Eve, the whole world has been populated with sheep. The only question, really, beloved, the only question is not whether or not you are a sheep. The only question is whether or not you are a faithful sheep or a foolish sheep. The only question is whether or not you are a lost sheep or a found sheep. Because we're all sheep. Faithful sheep have faith in the Lord. Faithful sheep say like Jacob said in Genesis 48 and 15. That the Lord has been my shepherd all the days of my life. What is he saying? That all the days of my life, I have been a sheep. And the Lord has been my shepherd all the days of my life. Faithful sheep put their trust in the Lord. Foolish sheep put their trust in everything and anything else. In the context of our text, right, in chapter 9, as we saw last week, what we saw, beloved, what we saw working itself out was the difference between faithful and foolish, the difference between lost and found sheep. The blind man was a found sheep who put his faith in Jesus. The Pharisees were lost sheep who put their trust in themselves and their own traditions. This, beloved, is the universal struggle in the Bible. And thus, this is the struggle in your hearts and minds this morning. It is the struggle of the sheep. Who will they listen to? Who will they follow? Listen. Lost sheep follow other sheep. Oh, they call them false shepherds, but really they're just lost sheep themselves. Lost sheep follow other sheep. That's what Jesus says. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 14. He says it's the blind leading the blind. It's just sheep following sheep. They follow false shepherds, which is, in essence, just sheep following sheep. Faithful sheep follow the good shepherd. Those sheep who are found follow the true shepherd. This is the battle, beloved. Our hearts and our minds, you do realize that every day your heart and your mind is a battlefield. If you are not aware of this, and it's probably because you've already been falling prey to following lost sheep. There is a battle that rages every day. And contrary to public discourse, it's not a battle between the Democrats and the Republicans. It is not a battle between the progressives and the liberals and conservatives. It is not a battle between Fox News and CNN and NPR. It is a battle for the sheep. Lost sheep and faithful sheep. Foolish sheep and those who are found. This is what we have explained further to us in John chapter 10. John 10 is significant because it continues the explanation of the events in John 9. And you remember last week how we mentioned how important and how significant was the events in John chapter 9 in revealing who Jesus is and what Jesus came to do. Jesus giving sight to the blind man. Well, last week, beloved, what we saw was the blind man giving explanation to the events. What we have in John 10 is now Jesus gives explanation to that most significant event. Jesus explained that what was happening is that the good shepherd was getting distinguished from the false shepherd. But even more importantly for us this morning, Don't miss this. It is that the true sheep were getting distinguished from the foolish ones. That's going to be our focus this morning. I come to this text. See, I'm already losing it. I come to this text this morning. And obviously, when you read John chapter 10, the first thing that comes to your mind is that Jesus is the good shepherd. And yes, he is. And I had a whole sermon on that. And yesterday, I trashed it. I trashed it because I want you to see beyond the scriptures telling us that Jesus is a good shepherd. That is obvious. But it is also here reminding us of who are the sheep. What does it mean to be a sheep in the flock of Jesus Christ? Beloved, there are only two types of people in the world. Sheep who are lost and sheep who are found. And Jesus came to seek and to save his sheep. The question that is left for us this morning, are you one of them? Are you a sheep in the flock of the good shepherd? I want to show you this morning, if you are saved, if you are saved this morning, I want to show you what it means for a sheep to be saved. What it means for a sheep to be saved. The blind man was saved because his eyes were opened and he saw Jesus. Because he was lost, and the good, true shepherd found him. If you are saved this morning, it is because of the ministry and the mission of the true shepherd for his sheep. And so this text this morning, beloved, not only tells us who the good shepherd is, obviously that's Jesus, but more importantly, it tells us who the sheep are. It tells us who are the true sheep of God. And Jesus reminded them, really, that not only were they false shepherds, the Pharisees, but they were foolish sheep. Because that's what false shepherds really are, right? They're just the foolish sheep who lead the foolish sheep. They are the foolish sheep that the other foolish sheep put up front to lead. The blind leading the blind. They are the foolish sheep that the other foolish sheep listen to. They are the foolish sheep that the other foolish sheep trust. They are the foolish sheep that the other foolish sheep follow. Jesus tells the Pharisees that they are just foolish sheep. He is the good shepherd. He is the only true shepherd. And he has come to claim his sheep. He has come to find and to save his Everyone is a sheep this morning. Did you hear what I said? Everyone is a sheep this morning. But not every sheep belongs to Jesus. In verse 3 of chapter 10, the Bible says, the gatekeeper opens the gate for the shepherd. All the sheep are gathered in the pen. All the sheep are gathered in the pen. The gatekeeper recognizes the shepherd. The gatekeeper opens the door, opens the gate, so the shepherd can come in. And notice what the Bible says. The sheep listen to his voice. He calls who? His own sheep by name. And those are the ones he leads out. I don't think you hear what I said. He comes and he calls his own sheep out from amongst all of the other sheep. He calls them by name. And he leads them out. His own sheep. His own sheep, beloved, because he knows them by name. This is the reality and the intimacy of God's salvation this morning. This is the particularity of redemption. In Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 1, God says, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. You are mine because I call you by name. When the Lord saves, it is personal. It is personal. He calls his people by name. He called Abraham by name. He called Moses by name. He called Samuel by name. Beloved, he called Peter by name. He called Paul, well, he was Saul, but he called him name. That's what the good shepherd does. The good shepherd knows his sheep, and he calls each one by name. Listen, listen. You and I may not know the name of the blind man that Jesus gave sight to. But I guarantee you that Jesus knew his name. Because the good shepherd calls his people by name. Jesus found him. Jesus called him. And he followed his shepherd. You see that? The blind man was there amongst all the other sheep. And Jesus came and called him by name. And he heard him. And he followed him. And Jesus led him out. This is what happens when true sheep meet the shepherd. How about you this morning? Question, do we have any true sheep in the house this morning? Well, let's see. Because the Bible tells us,
who the true sheep are.
First of all, the Bible reminds us that it's the true sheep who listen to Jesus. The true sheep listen to Jesus. John chapter 10, verse 3 and 4. The sheep hear his voice. He calls his own by name and lead them out. When he has brought out all of his own, those are the only ones he's bringing out, beloved. Those who are his own. He goes before them. The sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And I'm losing mine. Beloved, with all the many voices in this world, true sheep are the ones who are always listening for Jesus. They are listening for Jesus. The Pharisees proved themselves foolish and lost sheep in that they refused to listen to Jesus. They refused to listen to Jesus. The blind man showed himself a true sheep because he listened to Jesus. Why? Because Jesus tells you the truth. Listen what he says. Truly, truly, I say to you. In other words, he says, I tell you the truth. Now, don't get it twisted, beloved. Don't get it twisted. Don't get it twisted. Because everybody claims to tell you the truth. Everybody claims to tell you the truth. That's why the foolish sheep put the other foolish sheep forward. Because certain foolish sheep claim to know the truth. And today, there are many voices out there claiming to know the truth. They got YouTube channels. They got podcasts. They're talking heads in the media. Beloved, I want to encourage you this morning. I want to encourage you this morning that when you listen to the news, hopefully you have already been listening to Jesus. Listen for the shepherd's voice. When you listen to all those podcasts, I do pray that you have a clear understanding of the voice of Jesus already. Listen, Jesus is the one who says, I tell you the truth. In fact, Jesus is the only one who can say, I tell you the truth and always be true. Because the Bible tells us that God is not a man that he should lie. He has no reason to lie. That's why I tell my children when I'm talking to them. I like to tell them, I am the one man in your life who is going to always tell you the truth. You know why? Because I don't need anything from you. I'm not trying to get anything from you. I'm not trying to trick you into anything. I'm not trying to pull the wool over your eyes so that you would come with me. I'm telling you the truth because I have your best interest at heart. And still, I fall way short of Jesus. Jesus is the only one. When he says, I tell you the truth, he always tells you the truth. A good and true shepherd doesn't want anything from you except what's best for you. And true sheep understand this. And they listen to Jesus. They listen to Jesus. After they have heard all the voices, they want to say, yeah, but what does Jesus say? True sheep listen to Jesus. But not only do true sheep listen to Jesus, the Bible says that true sheep follow Jesus. In verse 5, a stranger they will not follow. A stranger they will not follow. But they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Beloved, there is only one way to the green and safe pastures of God's grace, and it is through Jesus. You must follow him. This is what it means. This is what it means to be a Christian. Okay? This is what it means to be a Christian. The only way to be a Christian is to understand and admit that you are a sheep. And the only way to be a true sheep is to follow Jesus. To follow Jesus. And this is a calling that Jesus lays upon his disciples. He laid it upon his disciples from the very beginning. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 19, when he found Peter and Andrew, what did he say to them? Follow me. Follow me. When he found Philip in John chapter 1 and verse 43, what did he say? Follow me. This is what he says to all his disciples. Anyone who would be a disciple of Jesus Christ, Jesus says in Matthew 16 and verse 24, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up your cross, and do what? Follow me. There's no other way. There's no other way. You can't be a true sheep and not follow the good shepherd. You have to follow Jesus. And Jesus makes this distinction very clear. Even when he's speaking to lost sheep. When he had the encounter with the rich young ruler. In Luke 18, 22. Jesus said to the rich young ruler, you still lack one thing. Sell everything you have. Give to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven. Then come. Follow me. Follow me. Follow me. Beloved, those are the words that when the true sheep hear them, they hear nothing else. Everything else in the world is drowned out when they hear Jesus say, follow me, follow me, follow me. Why? Because it is suddenly pressed upon them that there are many ways to go to hell, beloved. There are many voices that will call you onto the broad road, but there is only one path to eternal life. There is only one highway to heaven. You must follow Jesus. That's it. All sheep who have heaven as their hope follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. That's what true sheep do. True sheep listen to Jesus. True sheep follow Jesus. Because true sheep, beloved, true sheep have life. They do. See in verse 10, when Jesus says the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy, but I the good shepherd, have come that my sheep might have life and have it abundantly. The sheep who listen to Jesus, the sheep who then follow Jesus, they follow Jesus into life. And not just life, but they follow Jesus into, the Bible says, abundant life. For the shepherd comes to the sheep not to make their life worse, but to make their life better. The shepherd comes to make life better. The enemy of the sheep, the other sheep, they take until there is no more. But Jesus comes not to take. But Jesus is not here to make your life worse. He comes to make it better. He comes so that you might have more. The sheep who follow Jesus have more. They get more. And not necessarily more of this world. They get more of him. You get more. And the more you follow, the more you get. You get more. For in Jesus, life is better. Life is abundant. And abundant is more. 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 It is more in quantity, beloved. You get more life because you get eternal life. All the sheep in this world have is this life. And therefore, their philosophy is summed up in how they say it: YOLO. You only live once. Grab all you can all you get, sit on the top and poison the rest. But beloved, those who follow Jesus know that for all that this life offers, there is more. There is more. They have life, and that life is eternal, and that this world is not all there is. It's what the Apostle Paul says, right? When he tells us in 1 Corinthians 15 that if this world is all there is, we are of the most pitiful. We are not, beloved, because we are Christians who believe in the resurrection of Christ. And because we believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we believe that we will experience that resurrected life too. Not only in the life to come, but we experience that resurrected life now. That's more. Beloved, if you are saved this morning, I know it doesn't feel like it all the time. I understand. It doesn't feel like it all the time. But let me explain something to you. Whether you feel like it or not, if you are saved, you are more alive than any unsaved person could possibly be. You are more alive now, because you have new life in you, and that life yearns to to be set free. This changes everything. This changes how you should think about this life. This changes how you should live in this world. We are resurrection people. And that's why we live life like we do. And Jesus came to bring life. And that life is without end. That's what he says in John 3:16, isn't it? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that all of his sheep should not perish, but have everlasting life. You got the abundant life because it is a life of quantity. You get more, longer, eternal, unending, everlasting life. But it is not just an abundant life in the quantity. It is also more abundant in the quality. In the quality this morning, beloved. The abundant life is the overflowing life. It is the sufficient life. It is the life that is more than enough. The good shepherd comes to give his sheep a life that is more than enough. More. Now, I want us to understand something this morning. Y'all gonna think I sound a little word faith this morning. I am not word faith. This is not name it and claim it. We don't believe that God has promised us in this life heaven on earth. Heaven is yet to come. And it is promised. And it is guaranteed. And it's bound up in our hearts. And we know it's coming. Because in this world, beloved, into every life, some rain must fall. Every life. We are not immune to suffering. We are not immune to pain. We are not immune to loss this morning. And yet, despite all the pain, despite all the suffering, despite all the loss, I testify to you this morning what the psalmist says in Psalm 37 and 25. I have been young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Why? Because the good shepherd promises more. 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 More than just the pain and the suffering. More than just the loss. More. Promises abundant life. And the abundant life is the confident life. It is a confident life. I want you to understand something, beloved. Christians do some bad things. Did you hear what I said? I know y'all don't want to admit it. But Christians do some bad things. I've sat with some of you, I know. Christians do some bad things. And it's interesting, we turn our TV and we look at Afghanistan and we see them people with the scarves over their face, like Brother Anthony over there, with the scarf over their face. And we say, whoa, look how wicked the Taliban. Look how evil ISIS. Look how wicked and terrible Al-Qaeda. And I say to myself, what about the Taliban in my own heart? What about Al-Qaeda in this heart? What about the ISIS that is standing before you, beloved? My life is filled with sin. It is filled with failure. It is filled with shortcomings. It is filled with weaknesses. And yet, I am confident of this one thing, that there is nothing in all of creation that can separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus, my shepherd and my Lord. Nothing. Not my sin and not yours. Not my wickedness and not his. Not my terror or hers can separate me from the love of God that is in my good shepherd. Because the abundant life is the confident life. Confident, beloved. Confident. If you are a sheep in the flock of Jesus this morning, you can be confident this morning. Not confident that everything will go the way that you want it to go, because it probably won't. Not confident that everyone will do what you want them to do, because they probably won't. And not confident that you will always make the right decision, because you probably won't. But confident of this, beloved, Philippians 4:19, that my God will meet all your needs according to his riches in glory through your good shepherd, Jesus Christ. That's where the confidence is. And that is the abundant life. Confident. Assured. Saved. Saved. That's what true sheep are. True sheep are saved. John chapter 10 and verse 9. Jesus says, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. Will be saved. They will go in and go out and find pastures. They are saved, beloved. They are saved because, as he says in verse 15, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And they are saved. He lays down his life for the sheep. And they are saved. Christ died so that the lost could be found. So that the lost sheep, his lost sheep, could be found. That's what the Bible says. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 15. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd, the overseers of your souls. That's what it means to be saved, beloved. It means that the good shepherd has laid down his life for you. He has found you, and you are now his. You're still a sheep. You're just a found one now. You're just a saved one now. And not only are you saved, but because he has laid down his life for you, you are also a secure sheep. You are a secure sheep. No sheep for whom Christ finds is ever lost. No sheep for whom Christ dies ever perishes. If a sheep perishes, he was not a sheep of the Lord. Beloved, there are no sheep of Christ in hell this morning. All the sheep that Christ came to save get found. All the sheep that Christ came to redeem are saved. John 10, verse 27 and 28. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. The good shepherd loses no sheep. It's what it means to be saved, beloved. This is the confidence with which we live our lives. That if we have been saved by the shepherd, then we are secure in the shepherd. It's not losing a one. It's not losing a one. Everyone who follows him, follows him in the glory. And not one is lost. And this is why, beloved, they are satisfied. I mean, this is a satisfaction. This is a satisfaction that comes in being in the flock of God. This morning, beloved, I'm not desiring to be anywhere else. I am not in desire of being anywhere else but in the flock of Jesus Christ. And look at me, I don't mind you calling me a sheep. As long as I can say that the Lord is my shepherd. That's what it means. This is a satisfaction. And this is why true sheep are never, never disappointed. True sheep are never really disappointed, beloved. Yeah, there are some temporary setbacks. Yes, there are some temporary setbacks in this life. There's trials and things don't always go as we dream. Relationships fail. Children become a challenge. Health deteriorates. Parents become difficult. Finances get tight. Sin and guilt can become unbearable. But through it all, true sheep find rest and satisfaction with Jesus because they understand that Jesus is enough. Jesus is enough. And true sheep say like David in Psalm 23 and 1. Because the Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. He makes me lie down in the meadow's grass. And he leads me beside the quiet streams. He restores my failing health. And he helps me to do what honors him the most. And how does the song say? That's why I'm safe. That's why I'm safe. That's why I'm safe. Safe in his arms this morning. True sheep